Well, take your Bibles tonight and let's talk about when we are going home, because he is coming and we need to be ready. As we saw last week in Luke chapter 12, if you'll turn back there, we're just walking through Luke's gospel and then Matthew's gospel and looking and considering the parables. And here in chapter 12, we saw Jesus' illustration for the disciples and for the crowds that day, and we didn't finish that section. And so, as we saw last week, there's a stewardship that we have in life, a responsibility that we have in life to be watching and waiting for Christ's return. We believe he's going to keep his word, amen? He's going to return just as he promised. None of us knows the day, no one knows the hour, not even the Son. The Father's going to say, it's time to go. That doesn't mean that he is not omniscient, doesn't know all things. He willingly doesn't know that day or time. And yet he will step into this world that he made once again, and he will come like a thief in the night, and we need to be ready. He's going to snatch his bride away, and as we saw last week, you need to have oil in your lamps and keep them burning. You need to have your loins girded, and that means ready to go, ready to run out, and I'm ready to go today. Praise the Lord. But if he doesn't come today, then what should I be doing? That's why this parable is important for us. It's not just sitting back in our lazy boy and watching all the events that are transpiring there in the Middle East and wondering, okay, here's another sign, here's another sign. In fact, have you ever stopped and considered all the signs that they... I mean, it says there in Mark chapter 13, I believe it is, where he talks about the end times and the signs of the times. I mean, there's wars and rumors of wars. We got plenty of that all around the world right now. There's earthquakes and famines. We got those all the time. I mean, those have been going on for quite some time. We often forget one of the best signs of the times, end times, and that's actually found not in the Gospels, but found over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul tells Timothy that in the last days there will be those who have the form of godliness, but there's no power in it. There'll be actually a lot of religiosity, a lot of religion, a lot of religious activity taking place, but there'll be no power in it, no presence of the Spirit in it. I think that's because there'll be no word in it. The power is always with the Spirit and the Word of God. Those two things are essential, and Jesus himself would say that. That you deny the power because you don't know the Spirit and you don't know the Word of God. And those things are important. But Paul told Timothy, listen, in the end times, men are going to be lovers of pleasure, lovers of gold or silver, and lovers of themselves. You see that today, don't we? Plenty. And they won't be lovers of God. But in that time, they'll go to a religious service. They'll go to religious activity. But there just won't be any power in their lives, any spiritual power. And so it's that apostasy, really, which is a sign of the end times. I always wonder sometimes, someone asks me, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, if you believe in the rapture, you believe the Lord's going to snatch him away. If you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, I know not everyone does, but not everyone, well, never mind. I'm not going to go off on that tangent right now. But for those that don't, you know, I'll see you later, I guess. If you want to go through it, I'm not going through it according to what I believe the Word of the Lord says. But, you know, how do you explain the rapture if it's gone? Someone's always asked me, I mean, what is the world going to think? Is there any feasible excuse? Like, where did the people disappear and where do they go? And I sincerely believe they're setting this up. I really do. I believe they're going to set it up with aliens. I'm going to be honest with you. I just see more and more talk about that, more and more discussion about that. And to me, I mean, that'll be a feasible excuse. Like, where did they go? Oh, the aliens took them. I mean, look at how much you see about aliens, more and more and more. And I think it will be a thing to say, well, and I think even then that it will be more, much easier for them to receive a false Messiah to deliver us from this alien threat. We can talk about that over a hot cup of tea if you want to, but that's not the focus tonight. My point is this, he's coming, right? My point is that no one knows when. I don't know, you don't know, no man knows. But you better know he's coming. That's the main thing. Could be pre-trib, could be mid-trib, could be post-trib. I'm telling you, there's going to be a trib, and he's going to come. And you need to be ready. And that's the emphasis here in Luke chapter 12. You need to be ready, have oil in your lamp, have your loins girded, and be found watching for your master. Now, he carries this theme again. We're going to look in verse 41 and following down through verse 48. because he uses a second parable as he continues speaking. Of course, Peter said, look, Lord, are you speaking this parable only to us or to all the people? Is this just for the disciples of Christ, or is this for the whole world? This parable that he's just spoken, and Jesus is going to speak another parable. Does everyone need to pay attention? Well, I don't know. Listen, if we're all going to give an account for what we've done in the flesh, if we're all going to give account for all the words that we've spoken, if we're all going to stand before God and be judged for our actions, then I think that means everybody needs to pay attention, not just the disciples. But even more so, we should realize that just because we're disciples doesn't mean that we don't have an experience of judgment. There's a judgment for us as well. Praise God, it's not for sin, right? That's the great white throne judgment. No one who stands there will be justified. They all those that were there in Revelation chapter 20 that will be raised, that second resurrection that they will experience, they will be judged for their actions, and no one will be redeemed. None of their names will be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no one will be able to make a case with God, because you see, God will only have to speak the word, the law, one time, and every mouth will be stopped. That's what it says in Romans chapter 3. When the law is read, no one can make an excuse and say, wait, I have some righteousness, because no one has any righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all have turned astray. We all have gone our own way. And all that we can expect and experience would be judgment. But that's not the judgment that believers will experience. We have a different judgment. It's the Bema Seat of Christ over in 1 Corinthians. Paul speaks of it, where we are rewarded for our faithfulness in service. And that's what the theme is here about our responsibility to be good stewards of everything that God has given us. Listen, that means my time, every day that you and I have. It's not ours, it's His. God wrote your days and my days in a book, and my responsibility and your responsibility is to make the most of each day. I only have today. I need to be a wise person and make the most of that, of God's time that He's given me. He breathes life into us. He sustains us. And so the day that I have, it's not mine, it's His. That's why, you know, when we can rejoice, we can realize that this is the day the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, because God governs it. And I just want to be found faithful in today, each day serving my King. Not just the time that I have. Listen, the talents that you and I have, they're not ours, they're His. Who wove you together in your mother's womb? Who gave you those abilities that you have? It was the Lord. Who opened the doors of opportunity for you to be educated in a particular place or have that experience working in a job somewhere? Who opened those doors for you and gave you those advancements? It was God's favor, God's blessing on our lives. Who gave us those experiences, that mentors that poured into us and that we didn't go seeking Him. They sought us and poured into our lives. We give thanks for that because we realize that's just a good gift of God. He gave us these abilities. He gave us the opportunities to hone our abilities. He's given us the spiritual abilities that we have. It's not ours. It's the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit of God that enables us to either proclaim the Word or do ministries that support the advance of the Word. All of these things are the work of the Spirit of God. God gives us those talents, whether they're natural or supernatural. Our God is in control of all of that. And our responsibility is to be stewards, good stewards of those, of that time and of those talents and all the things that God gives us, realizing that every good gift came from Him. How do I steward the resources that God gives me, the opportunities that He gives me? Peter speaks to the Lord, and as Jesus is teaching on this, listen to what he says. The Lord said to him, who then is the, verse 42, who then is that faithful and wise steward? I circled faithful and wise in stewardship right here, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is the servant, that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master's delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will, notice this, cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed these things, deserving of stripes still, he shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be required. And to much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Lord, help us realize tonight, Lord, our responsibility to be found good stewards, stewards of all that you've given us, all the opportunities, all the resources. Lord, please help us to be faithful each and every day. Lord, it's a lifestyle of faithfulness that you want. Not fruitfulness, Lord. You want mere faithfulness, Lord. Lord, help us to realize tonight as you teach, this world is really preparing us for eternity. What we do now touches eternity. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters before me, those who will listen later online. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be found faithful doing what you have given us the responsibility to do, empowered by your Spirit, guided by your word, all for your glory and for the good of others. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord has a parable here, and as we learned last week, it's not just waiting and watching. The proof that we really are watching and we really are waiting is that we are to be found working. Remember, Paul told Titus over in Titus chapter 2, when he talked about the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness and to live godly, or actually soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. He says that we're supposed to be looking for the blessed appearing of our Lord. Christ is coming. And then he says at the very end of it, which we rarely get to that portion, not just looking. And then he says we should be doing good works, zealous to do good works. You and I should be marked by that if we are expecting that Christ is coming. If we are those who are living soberly, righteously, godly. If we're those who are denying ungodliness and worldliness. If we're those who are being taught by the grace of God that has appeared. That should mark your life and my life. Every day it should be a reflection as a disciple of Christ. That I am zealous for good works. Do those works save us? Nope. But they're the result of being saved, the fruit of being saved. It's something we want to do. We realize for too long we labored for the wrong things. And yet now we realize I want to labor for the Lord. I'm going to be rewarded for that. So Peter here speaks and asks the Lord about the previous parable and the instruction that he gave. And then Jesus gives him some more instruction about not watching and waiting, but working. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? In other words, he's saying, listen, what you and I are doing right now, we are stewards. We are stewarding all the opportunities God gives us. Your faithfulness in the little things is what matters. My faithfulness in the little things is what matters. Why? This world is preparatory for the one that is to come, for the eternity that is to come. It's how God designed it. In his plan, this is what God decided to do. He was going to create a world where what we do in this world would have an impact for eternity. And by that, when we get there to eternity, there will be those that are there that will have been redeemed, that will respond to God's love and will love him and will want to be with him forever and ever, realizing he is far better than anything that this world would have to offer. And those that are there will be given responsibilities. You and I will be given responsibilities in heaven, and we will continue to work there. It's not just we get to heaven and we sit back and we chill the whole time. This is preparatory, what we're doing now. And I can tell you, the good thing about there is when we do the work there, man, we won't sweat. We won't get tired. We won't be weary from our work. Praise the Lord, right? You won't get injured doing your work. I mean, this is the encouragement for us that what I'm doing right now is preparing me. My level of stewardship, the way if I'm faithful in much or if I'm faithful in little, I'm going to be rewarded reciprocally there in heaven. I mean, it's the parable otherwise. You would find a similar parable in different ways where Jesus talks about those servants who had 10 minas, 5 minas, 1 mina. You remember those? right? Those who had much, one took and began to use and leverage all that the Lord had given him, and he returned a double return. And then the second one did the same thing. He had the same return on his investment, and the one who had one did what? Took it and hid it. That's a different parable, but the point is similar in this. We're rewarded for our faithfulness, for our service. Who is the one who is faithful, who is wise? It is wise for you and I to stop and consider. It's a healthy thing every now and then just to pause and say, Lord, what have you entrusted for me to do? What is it you have gifted me to do? And every single one of us in the room has a different gift. I praise the Lord that he knows how to distribute those gifts. He knows how to disperse those gifts for the benefit of us all. And we all just need to be found faithful. I mean, my soul is enriched when Jimmy plays his six string. I love it. It enriches my soul. And I can sing along with him right down here on the front. I love it. I got his CDs. He gave them to me so I can play them in my office. And I'm enriched by that because he's taken his spiritual gift and using it to encourage us. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for teachers. You know, I'm not going to tell you this, but well, yeah, well. So, you know, in the newsletter, if you got it, hopefully you read that thing that we send out. That's part of what we want to do. But I'm so thankful for those that at least read the article that I wrote. And you texted me, as I asked you to do, or you emailed me, several of you did, and so that I could pray for you. And that's what I did. I said, just text me. Tell me where you're serving right now so I can pray for you and what you do in the body so I can pray for you and be encouraged by your faithfulness to do what the Lord has called you to do and gifted you to do. Who is the faithful one? Listen, you may have something you say, well, this is just insignificant. I mean, does it really matter? Yes, it does, whether it's small or large. We need individuals that are faithful to serve at the door, faithful to take up the offering, faithful to sing in the choir, faithful to bless us with their gifts, faithful to work in the nursery and have gifts of mercy. I'm telling you, it takes mercy to minister to those little ones sometimes when they're screaming and want to pull your hair out, right? It takes a spiritual gift to do those things. And some are just gifted to do that. Thankful for those who call on those who are homebound. Thankful that's the whole body ministering to the whole body. Praise the Lord. Who is the wise and faithful steward whom the master will make ruler over all his household and give them their portion of food in due season? I love this beatitude here. Notice it is in verse 43. I also circled, I wrote 37 beside it, because over in verse 37, as we learned last week, there was another beatitude. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Here the blessing is not those who are watching. Notice, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. There's a blessing for watching. There's a blessing for working. There's a beatitude for being alert and attentive, expecting he could come at any moment. There's a beatitude for just doing what God told you to do. Don't be jealous of what someone else is doing. They may be gifted to do that. They may be called to do that. God may have opened the opportunity for them to do that. You and I just need to do what we are responsible to do. You remember when Jesus was resurrected? He was on the beach with the disciples, and they were having a fire and cooking some fish. And he had John and he had Peter there, and he told Peter what was going to happen to him and what was going to happen to John. And they had evidently one of them got a little upset, and he said, don't you worry about him. That's his calling. That's what he's going to experience. You just be found faithful with what God has given you. I mean, I tell you, we got enough to worry about with ourselves. Why worry about other people, right? Amen? Amen. Good right there. Am I being faithful? Am I being prudent? If the master comes, will he find me? Not just watching, will he find me doing what he wanted me to do? So doing. That's the question today. I mean, we all can examine our life. The opportunity to serve, is it there, and am I being faithful? Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. This is the amazing thing. Beloved, we are heirs and joint heirs of a kingdom. We're going to judge angels. We're going to have a responsibility in the kingdom that is to come. And we're all going to have some responsibility that God's going to put us to work. Work is not a bad thing. It's a tough thing down here because of Adam's choices and the thorns and thistles that are in the ground now. All right? But it will not be like that in the new heaven and the new earth. Praise God. None of that will be there. But see, when you and I wake up in the morning and we look to heaven and we say, Lord, help me to fix my eyes on you as I run the race today. What you give me to do, help me to be found faithful doing it, Lord. Lord, help me to do it with joy. Help me to do it empowered by your Spirit. Help me to do it in faithfulness to your word. Lord, I pray as you enable me to do this today, help me to be a witness to someone who doesn't know you. Help me to show them that your kingdom is far greater. How do we show the greatness of the kingdom? By being servants. Just like our Savior. I mean, that's what greatness looks like. Everybody was wondering who would sit at the right hand of Jesus, right? All the disciples and even their mama wanted the sons of thunder. Can you grant that my boys will sit beside you? And you don't know what you're asking for. You want to be great in the kingdom, Jesus says? Get lower. And that's what we have right now. We get to practice that, put that into practice. We gird up our, not just our loins, we pick up the servant's tower. There's incredible power in cotton fiber. We show the greatness of the kingdom of God when we serve, when we, it's not about us. We follow the example of Christ, and we are so much more like him when we embrace the towel, and that means it's not what's in it for me, but it's what's in it for the king and for his kingdom and for the life of the one that we are ministering to in that moment. You know, some of the opportunities that we have to be faithful is not just within the walls of this church, but it's also on the exterior outside the walls of this church as we do ministry. And praise God that the Lord just continues to open doors for us. We're praying for him to continue to do that. Where, listen, every Sunday school class will have an area of ministry, something that, listen, your class embraces an area where, you know what? You know, we cross paths here in worship, but maybe once a month or once a week or something, you know what? A class is gathering and encouraging one another, exhorting one another, ministering together one another, opportunities for us to be identified clearly. Man, there's the people of God right there. They're watching, they're waiting, they're working, and they know their Savior is coming. And we're telling others about it, and we're not ashamed of him. We're not ashamed of the gospel that's changed us. This is the responsibility to be faithful when he comes, to receive this blessing, this beatitude that he has for us, and to realize that when he comes, he will reward us. I want the reward. He will make us ruler over much. He's the ultimate ruler, amen? It's his kingdom, but we are just privileged to be a part of it. Be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Now, here's the scary part. For those that are faithful, there are rewards, just as he says, that we will finally experience as reward. I think of Joseph sometimes. All that Joseph went through, you know? I mean, when you read Joseph's life over there in Genesis, I mean, how he's betrayed by his brothers, how he's sold as a slave, how he goes down and he's falsely accused in Potiphar's house and he's there and then he's in prison and he interprets dreams and, oh yeah, we'll get you out, but they never do. They forget about him until later, and then he finally rises up and God raises him up finally to that second in command, right? Where he could really influence things in Egypt. And also, most importantly, preserve the seed. Preserve his people, God's people, by bringing them down and keeping them so the seed would be alive. It's a picture for us. I mean, some of the experiences you might have are pretty lowly, but then you're elevated to this point where you have this privileged position. It's a reminder for us that God is the one who is orchestrating all of those things, and I just need to be found faithful until the Lord elevates me. And ultimately, we're all going to be elevated, those who walk by faith and those who serve him. Now, there's a reward for us, reward for faithfulness. That's what verses 41 through 44 are all about. But notice in verse 45 through 48, it changes. There's a but there. You circle it in your Bible. This is the neglectful, those who aren't good stewards, and the punishment that comes. Notice this. There's a servant that says to his heart, he says within himself, that's not a good heart. It's an evil heart. My master's delaying his coming. And he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. What kind of a servant is this? What kind of is one who exploits others and takes advantage of them? And instead of looking for his master, instead of loving others, he begins to beat them. He begins to partake and gorge himself and get drunk. Wow. He's lost perspective. He's enriching himself. And it's like, you know, shepherds that fleeced the flock. God was fed up with them over in the Old Testament. The prophets came time and again and called out the shepherds, the kings that were supposed to be shepherding the flock of Israel, the priests who were supposed to be doing what God called them to do. And the prophets even had to call out the false prophets time and again because they were exploiting God's people and not taking care of them as they should have been, reminding them, our Messiah is going to come. What will happen to those that are neglectful in their stewardship and don't do as they ought to do? Well, the master, according to verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware. He's not blessed because he was watching and waiting. The beatitude we mentioned last week over in verse 37. No, when the master comes here, when he comes, this sudden event, what will he do? This is pretty serious. He will slice him in two. How severe is that? He will cut him in two. What an execution, right? Those that listen, and the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will, he shall be beaten with many stripes. Their failure to obey, their failure to do what they knew was his master's will, he will judge them, and it will be a judgment that is punishment. In fact, what's scary is, as he says, then he who did not know yet committed deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few, but everyone to whom much is given, to him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You see, when God blesses, when God gifts, everybody who has life has been blessed by God. Whether they're obedient and disciples of Christ or whether they're in the world, God has blessed everyone. God has given gifts and natural abilities to everyone. He's woven them all together. They may not want to regard him as their maker. He has made us all. None of us has made ourselves. In fact, God rains all the blessings, as it says, the rain falls on the wicked and the good. God rains all the blessings down. Every good gift that anyone experiences, where does it originate? Whether they acknowledge it or not, it all originates, starts with God. God pours it down. Whether they shake their fist at him or whether they acknowledge it and say, thank you, gracious giver, for blessing me. But those who have given and are neglectful in what God has given them and the opportunity God has given them to be a blessing to others, to minister to others, to do, listen, the Lord's will, if they disobey, if they don't do it, if they're not watching and waiting, then when he comes, there will be judgment and they will be punished. And so the point is this. First, I have to be watching. First, I have to be waiting. I have to be in that position expecting him to come. And if I am, then the evidence of that is then what? I start working. I work. I labor. And I labor in a way, not for my own benefit, not to eat and drink and be drunk and to benefit myself and exploit others and take advantage of them. But no. I want to do good for others. I want to enrich their lives because God has enriched mine. And this is the picture. This is the parable. And so as we realize that, listen, if Christ tarries, is that a license for us to just, you know, be AWOL, to go on vacation infinitely? No. We don't get to do that. He's going to come and he's going to reward us. And what we want to have written is what I said last week, and we're studying the book of Hebrews. I just want to be found faithful. That's all I should want to have, that I am faithful. If I have much, if I have little, whatever I have, just be faithful of it. Notice what he says there in the last verse. I underlined it. To whom much is given from him, much will be required. And him who has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Whatever portion God gave you, just be faithful with it. You got 10 minas, be faithful with them. If you got 5, be faithful. If you got 1, be faithful. And don't put it in the sand. Don't dig a hole and put it in there. We're all going to give an account for it. Just be found faithful. What happens when the whole body is just being faithful? The church is thriving. Amen. We're ministering one into another. We're ministering and a bold witness out there. That's what my prayer for our church family is, that you and I will just be found faithful. I'm gifted, God. I realize that you've blessed me. How can I leverage this? How can I use this for your glory? And it's not just, again, it's not just within these walls. Some of you, God has leveraged opportunities for you outside of these walls. Are you using them for the kingdom of God? Advancing his name, carrying the banner, planting the banner of Christ there as you serve the Lord, where he's placed you. And this is the thing, God is opening doors. You realize that it's there that we are really touching the world in ways we can't even imagine. They're watching. When you and I profess faith in Christ and we declare, I mean, they're wondering, are you and I watching for him and waiting for him? Do we really believe he's coming back? Do we believe his word? Will we be found faithful until he does come? And if he tarries, do you know why he tarries? According to Peter, he says it this way. Some count, you know, the days and they look and go, where is the promise of his coming? He said he's coming back. Y'all, it's been 2,000 years. Where is he? Well, they are neglectful that with the Lord, 1,000 years is but one day. To him, it's nothing to wait. He's eternal. But why does he wait? Why is he so patient? The Lord is patient, Peter says, because he wants people to repent. He wants them to turn to him. Praise God, he waited till I turned. I'll just say I'm grateful. And now you and I should be grateful that he's patient. That means some of the lost people you work with, some of the lost people you're ministering to, some of the lost family members that we have, God's patience. Listen, we have opportunities to minister. Embrace it. And his desire is that they repent. The Hebrew term is shuv, that they turn, that they have a metanoia, a changing of their mind, a new way of thinking, a way of thinking that takes God into consideration. That's what we want to see, and that's what we want to pray. But may our responsibility be that you and I just be found faithful. We don't know when, but we got to be ready, amen? And if we're ready, then we're going to be rigorously working, knowing he's coming. And praise God, we're going to be rewarded. Let's pray that we will experience that. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray tonight, God, give us earnestness. Give us a zeal for good works, as Paul told Titus. Be zealous to do the good things, the right things, Lord, because Jesus has made us right with you. And being right with you, may we realize, Lord, that we have opportunities each day that you give us life and breath. We have a day to impact someone's life with truth, to impact someone's life with goodness, to impact someone's life with things that are beautiful, all things that point to you. So, Lord, may we be faithful to do that, bringing the hope of the gospel to those who don't know you. God, may we all embrace the towel, Lord. Those who are believing you're coming, Lord, may we be found working. As it said of David, he served the Lord in his generation, and then he lied down. He died. But praise you, Lord, when we lie down, to be absent from this body will mean we're present with you, and we'll receive our reward in due time. God, let me be found faithful. Let it be written in your book that I delighted to do the will of my God. May that be our heart's desire, I pray. As the psalmist says, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.